You are tuned into another episode of the Eye on Digital Marketing podcast presented by More Visibility, leaders in search, design, and interactive marketing. Recorded at our headquarters in Boca Raton, Florida, this is Digital Marketing Talk for your business. Now here is your host, Chuck Forbes.
Welcome back to another episode of Eye on Digital Marketing. I am your host, Chuck Forbes, and today I am joined by my guest, Senior Client Strategist April Nelson. April, how are you?
Excellent.
Before we get going, we do this with everybody. Senior Client Strategist, great title, but tell the listeners exactly what you do on a daily basis.
Sure. So with More Visibility, my role is to help our clients by overseeing all of the interactive advertising programs that they're running with us, whether that be Google Analytics, SEO, paid advertising, social media management. One of my jobs is really to help keep our clients organized with all of the different efforts that are in play,
but also to help tell a story about what's happening with these different efforts. So what are users doing when they reach the website? And also helping to uncover new channels and tactics and strategies that might be worthwhile testing.
Awesome. So let's dive into our topic today, which is the benefits of repurposing content. This may come up a lot in your internal meetings when you're brainstorming with your marketing team or your company. You may produce a lot of content and realize, like, what do I do with that on a daily basis, right? There's many channels I can use, many outlets I can use. Does some content make sense to post on all channels, only some? So, April, I really see this being divided into two avenues. One is, what type of content should I create that's able to be shared and repurposed a lot? And then two, what are some considerations that I really need to account for when repurposing content across different channels? May there be some channels that are received differently from my audience? So let's start there and back up at a high level. When I'm creating my content calendar, what are some tips you can give our listeners on the best type of content to create that's able to be repurposed later?
Sure. So this conversation has really changed a lot over the years. You know, we used to be talking to clients about whether or not they should even have a blog. You know, should I have a blog? What's the purpose? What's it going to do for me? But today, our conversations are more centered around how can my team create content? How can they be most efficient with their resources when they're creating content?
Right.
So it's not, do I want to create the content, but how much time should I spend? What type of content?
Sure.
So one of the things that we always suggest when we're talking about creating content, especially blog posts as an example, is to try to incorporate multimedia as much as possible throughout a blog post. So when you're thinking about a topic that you're creating, don't just think about the textual content, but also what type of custom images can you incorporate to help highlight particular points. If you're talking about a particular process, how might you be able to evolve that into an infographic or a short video? I would say overall, when creating content, we want to think about topics that lend themselves well to multimedia. So being able to have some image backed up by video, infographic, custom graphics, etc.
So I'm going to kind of paraphrase this and put myself in the shoes of someone who's in a marketing meeting, because I think this is a great point. I'm talking about, hey, I know I want 10 Facebook posts next month. I know I want to do some videos. I know I want to do, some regular posts with images. But a lot of times, sometimes what gets missed is these things can really cross over, like you said. You should, make a video that can also be turned into a potential blog, right? A potential post later. So I think that makes it easier, because I see and I hear a lot of people get hung up on a content calendar of, oh my gosh, I'm out of ideas. When really what you need to be thinking about is how these things gel, how these things cross. And like you said, coming up with ideas and topics that are able to be made into more than one piece of content. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And you mentioned video, and that's really been a hot topic lately. And just one thing to think about that's pretty easy and straightforward with videos is to start using video transcripts.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a video that's posted on YouTube and embedded onto your website. But when you're embedding it on your website to help give search engines some context, you could add an abbreviated transcript or even make the entire video transcript available right there on the page.
Yeah.
So that way a user can, you know, scan the page, see that video thumbnail and search results, and then search engines can help understand the content of the video
mm-hmm.
because you've given it context by adding that transcript.
Very good point. What about the channels that these posts are going to be on? I know that my audience, for example, may be on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, everything. But I feel like, and I know, that audiences act differently on different channels. And sometimes, for example, when we're on LinkedIn, we're not exactly looking for the same type of content or information that we would when we're on Facebook. So what are some tips that you can give our listeners when we're creating that content calendar and we say, okay, I've got topics now that can be turned into many different styles of posts, whether it be video, images, but now I'm really picking the channels that I want to upload this post on. What are some tips that should always be at the forefront of your mind when you're doing your content calendar in that regard?
Well, you know, one of the things that you really want to keep in mind is how does your own audience perform in each of those channels?
Mm-hmm.
So while there are some trends that we could look at across all clients and, you know, how LinkedIn versus Facebook or Twitter performs in terms of engagement and, you know, what type of content works well in each channel, it's not going to be the same for every client.
Great point.
But as an example, if I'm writing a blog about repurposing content, I have the opportunity in LinkedIn to actually publish that entire blog post if I want to
mm-hmm.
through their Pulse platform. So, you know, LinkedIn lends itself really well to long format blog posts where if you wanted to, you could publish the entire post right there in LinkedIn. What we see more often, though, is we'll see a company writes a blog and they post it to LinkedIn. Here's a link to my new blog. Check
yeah.
it out. They'll post it to Facebook. See our latest blog
right.
on repurposing content.
Yeah.
And then they'll tweet about it, you know, with just a shorter character count.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that would be the very minimum that you would look to do.
Sure.
And it's, you know, it's kind of helping to populate content on each channel. But as far as being engaging, you really want to look at, you know, your previous posts within each channel.
Mm-hmm.
And for your particular audience, your Facebook analytics, your LinkedIn company page analytics, where have you seen the most engagement? Are they on longer posts, short posts? You know, what are the topics that people are interested in?
Yeah.
Commenting on, sharing, etc.
And talking about engagement, too, that popped another question into my mind, which I'm curious to hear your thoughts about, is does it do me any good to go back and look at analytics or look at data of past performing posts and see how they perform to maybe repurpose something that wasn't top of mind right now?
Absolutely. So when you're thinking about repurposing, one thing that you can look is your offsite channels. Like you just mentioned, Chuck, take a look and see over time. So not just the past couple months, but the past couple years, even
mm-hmm.
since your channels have been active.
And that may surprise some people. You just said years, but that's like legitimate. And I've had clients as well, like a blog post from 2 years ago is still one of the top performing blog posts. Like, don't be afraid to go back that far.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can take a look at your offsite channels and see what's been the most engaging. But you can also take a look at some onsite tools. So you can look at your Google Analytics. Take a look at your content report, your top landing pages. You know, which pages, what kind of topics have drawn in the most users organically, just on their own or through referral traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond volume, you want to look at things like what are those high dollar index pages on your site. Maybe they're not high volume, but maybe there's particular blog posts that when someone reads it or comes across that content, they're engaged and they're moving on to a next step of maybe downloading a white paper or filling
yeah.
out a contact form or maybe sharing the content. You know,
yeah.
that would also be a good signal. So we don't only want to think about volume of engagement. We also want to think about meaningful engagement. And another cue that you can take from your from your own website would be to dig into the site search functionality. So take a look at those site search logs.
That's a good point.
You know, if you've got site search integrated with Google Analytics, it's very easy. You can take a look at the top search terms and get a sense of, you know, when users do arrive to your site, what are they actually searching on?
Yeah.
And that can give you some cues as well as far as what content to either repurpose and kind of recycle from the past or to write, you know, to write new content on.
Have you ever seen maybe a client or someone that you've worked with, April, look at that site search and maybe what people are searching on their website isn't exactly what they thought or what they included in their content calendar, and that ends up changing their strategy for the better?
It definitely can be an eye-opener. You know, what we think that our users are searching on and what they actually are, you know,
yeah.
A lot of times there's a disconnect there. And it also can open our eyes to see that, you know, where we might have gaps in our content. So
very true.
Here's what users are searching on, and then taking a look at, do I have relevant content that's returned for those searches or not? And
yeah.
A lot of times just seeing, identifying gaps there can, you know, be cues for topics that you might want to build out over time. And just another thing when we're thinking about those tools and, you know, different tools that you can look at to identify topics.
Mm-hmm.
Another great one is Google Trends. So you might get a couple of ideas, taking a look at your site search, how users are searching your site, and then maybe pop some of those into Google Trends. So take a look at, you know, globally, or key in on specific geographies for those same search terms, and let Google show you how popular
it
is over time.
Yeah.
They also will give you some what's called breakout searches. And this is great because a breakout search isn't something, you know, that's really shown up in Google's database for over time. So if we went back, you know, 5 years, we wouldn't have seen this search term, but it could be on the rise, and maybe it's new, you know, some sort of new terminology or acronym or new technology that's emerged. And so Google is able to quantify those as well. And, you know, this is a great way to identify hot topics or breakthrough searches, as Google calls them.
There you go. This is great stuff. So we want to incorporate multimedia, right? We want to look at custom images. You want to keep in mind your audience, how your audience acts. Some good tools to use, obviously, analytics, which everybody should be on. But Google Trends, I love that you mentioned that. Site search, another great one. Use your content reports if you have them internally, externally, with whoever you work with. And really get an idea for how to incorporate not only the best topics, but how your audience is going to respond to that and what channels you need to be on. I think this is all great stuff and all tips that could certainly help all the companies out there or businesses that are trying to repurpose content, but do it in the most valuable way. April, before we take off today, is there any other tips you wanted to leave our audience with?
I mean, just, you know, for example, with this podcast, you know, one way that we could look at repurposing it is to write a short blog post. Just recapping what you mentioned, Chuck, maybe even throw a audio transcript onto the page. So
maybe we even record a live video next time. You never know.
Exactly.
So, great example. April, thanks so much for stopping by today.
Thanks, Chuck.
You got it. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Eye on Digital Marketing podcast presented by More Visibility. If you want to stay on top of all the latest podcasts, visit our website, morevisibility.com/resources/podcasts, and browse the site for the latest digital marketing blogs, videos, newsletters, and much more.